All right. Last week, we were talking about giving our lives, asking the Lord to take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Well, when we stop and think about our life, we're thinking in terms of right now, the present and the future, when we're talking about this subject of giving our lives to the Lord. Intentions with such a wide sweep, however, tend to be vague, uncertain, questionable, scary, and even avoidable. My good intentions, I can avoid my good intentions pretty easy. When aiming at generalities, we often miss the practicalities or the details in our commitment to the Lord or even to other things. Faithfulness to a principle is only possible and is proven by faithfulness to details. Now, we've had some experience in training kids to play basketball and baseball and so forth and so on. And I'll just summarize a lot of it. John Wooden said in the book that he wrote that the winner is the ball player who out-fundamentals everybody else on the court. In other words, he learned his fundamentals, his details of how to participate in that particular activity, and he's able to learn them so well that he's able to win in that. But the same principle is true with our daily study and our daily prayer. Details are usually not fun. In fact, they would like to be overlooked so we can get on to something else that is fun. But they're absolutely essential, and they are the proof of our dedication to the principle. It's not just my life, but what's my spirit today? What's the task I'm performing today? That's the big question. The heart, with its intentions, folks, will not go where the body and mind do not go. We're not yet separated from the body. It's still here. And unless our body or in our mind do what our good intentions in our heart want to do, it's not going to happen. For instance, are you a competitor or are you a participator? How about, are you a helpful person or are you just a sympathizer? Now think what makes the difference between these two things. A sympathizer doesn't have to do anything but sit down. A helper's got to get up and go do. What about, are you a payer of your bills or do you owe your bills? They're still bills, but one is active and the other one's just thinking about it. The idea or the thing of purpose. Is our life and our day have purpose or is it just an idea? Vagueness can have a lot to do with the ineffectiveness of our feeble desire to devote our time to the Lord. Now, in contractual things, there's a statement, time is of the essence. You offer a contract, you tell a person you have until 5 o'clock tomorrow or the next day, or this is not an offer. All right? In life, time is of the essence. What does the Bible say? Our life is but a vapor, and it soon vanishes away. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Life is lived in periods of time. Years, when we take the years, we look at the years as centuries, BC, AD, we think of decades, then we divide the years into months, days, and hours, and so forth. Or life can be lived and looked at as periods of life, such as infancy, or childhood, or youth, or an adult, or elderly, or like some of us, super elderly, as far as periods in life. I read something one time that was extremely interesting about the fact that, I won't tell the story, but evidently every 7 years, at least until you get to super elderly, the cells in the body completely turn over, and you have actually a new body. Same person, but a new body. And so anyway, then, what about we sometimes divide life into periods of schooling? Nursery, kindergarten, elementary, junior high, et cetera, and all the way up through to where we think we're done with it. All right, however, moments are the DNA of life. As are the moments, so are the hours and days which they build. Here's a definition. I had never tried to define this word moment. But here it is, or here is a definition. To move, to rush, to fall with a sense of inescapable force. An instant in time is from the idea of an unstoppable rush or falling. You trip and fall. You don't stop it till you hit the ground. Kaboom. That's the idea in this word moment. They can be periods of days. It could be periods of hours. It could be minutes or a single period of time. When we think of 9/11, well, we think of the moment, two moments when those airplanes crashed. We think of that day. We call that moment. We think of that week, that chaos in New York City. We could call that a moment. We could even think of that year. We could even think of the whole decade kind of affected as a moment in time regarding that 9/11 incident. Now, moments can be the most minute or tiniest an indivisible part of time. In music, we measure and we keep time. This is what you do with counting. Count one, two, three, four. Count one starts here and it doesn't end until you get to beat two. That's a measure of time. I asked Eric how his concert went for such and such a period of concert that they gave up. He said, well, we had our musical moments. What that means is that your kids really performed the music part of this thing, maybe here and maybe there, and maybe three or four times through the whole concert. Our musical moments. Thoughts happen in a moment. When something gets and holds our attention can be a moment. For instance, the moment you realized you were a sinner. Now, you might have been wondering about it, but there was a moment in time when you thought, I am a sinner. We have moments every day, oh, I got that task coming up, or oh, that deadline's coming through. That thought, that can be classified as a moment. What about, fellas, she's the one? Now, you might have been contemplating this, but there was a point in time when you said, she's the one. And it probably happened just like that, and you've been sorry. No. Adam and I had a moment this summer, but he doesn't know this unless I've told him. I was walking down through the hall, going down there to where I was relegated to paint, in the back where the chicken coops are down there, and he was painting in a big showy hallway here. and he was up on his, I guess he was on a ladder, but he was cutting it against that ceiling like this. And I noticed that because cutting in is painting. If you're a painter, you cut in. If you can't cut in, you're not a painter. You might paint, but you're not a painter. Well, I didn't study that moment. I didn't think about it. I just observed it. But I have a job at Pegger's, which is 99% cut in against brick or against shingles on the top of the roof. You don't want to get white on these things. And something had clicked in that moment. I was able to cut in paint. I'll take you up there and show you the job. Cut in paint like I have never been able to do before. I have no idea what happened. I really don't. But I'm thankful for it. But that was a moment right out there that something went through my brain. Oh, actually, it went way in the back of my brain. I didn't know where or that it was even there. But it affected. All right, that illustrates the point. The light comes on in an instant when the Holy Spirit speaks. In a sermon, sorry about this, Pastor, but generally the truth hits us from a short statement, a single sentence, a part of a verse of Scripture. It's not the whole sermon. Even this wonderful thing you're getting this morning, if anything sticks, it's going to be a thought, a moment. Right. Now, here's one. In John chapter 6, verse 51, we get in the latter part of chapter 6. the Lord is telling these people in front of him, including his disciples, the bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now that statement, my life is the bread, was at the end of his discourse on the bread of life. And that moment was a defining moment for these hundreds of people, or however many there were from him, and including his disciples. It was a short statement in compared to the whole discourse, but it was a defining moment for those that were there. It affected all who were there. A turning point in the Lord's ministry happened at that moment. Sometimes it's only a look, as with Peter in the Lord's trial. A split second. Was that an important thing? Did that have any effect on Peter? Well, that's it. In studying God's Word, the Holy Spirit can so illuminate a truth in an instant that the light of that truth will never go out. The first example comes to me is Martin Luther and his understanding of we're saved by grace alone through faith. Think of the impact of these biblical moments. First of all, creation. All each thing that happened in creation, the heavens and earth, the seas, the land, at his spoken word, an instant. What about Paul on the road to Damascus? Did that moment have an impact? The Red Sea parted. When the death angel visited the land of Egypt and smote all the firstborn. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we go to be with him. In Romans 5:19, let me see now if I got that right. Yes, Romans 5:19, I'll just read it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. How long did it take him to do that? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. How long did it take him to do that? It is finished. It was the moment. It was the instant. Now, our moments are going to be controlled or used by someone. Will Jesus keep them, or will we keep them? The service of a moment cannot be divided. You know this verse, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the service of a moment cannot be divided. You might divide the service of a year or your service of a whole lifetime, but we're either serving one or the other during that moment that we're living. This is why I think this is such a practical, important lesson for us to think about. If the moment is filled with service for self or any other master, it is not available for the Lord's use or even for an earthly employer. He can't use what's already taken. Think what might have been if our moments had been kept by Jesus for him and filled with his light and life. How much honor to him and blessing to others could have been accomplished. Eternal issues can hinge on any single moment, but very often they come and go before we ever can think about it. Oh, I'll overcome. Give me some time and I'll overcome. I'll resist the devil. He'll flee from me. Give me a little time, but he comes in a moment, and in an unguarded, unkept moment, the unstoppable, forced rushing of that moment overtakes us. I know we've all experienced this. We experience it repeatedly. What about, though, God's moments towards us for a moment? Let's think about this. In Job, we read this, what is man that thou should magnify him, that is to think about that he is important, and that thou should set thine heart on him, and that thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment. God sets his mind on us ceaselessly. He visits and tries us every moment. Turn to Psalm 139. We'll read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. All right, let's read together. I want you to participate with this now, but I'll lead it, so we'll be sure to get it recorded. All right, here we go. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 17. Together. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And then verses 23 and 4. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The Lord's thoughts are on us. You know, when we look at the heavens through a telescope, it reveals the vast wisdom and greatness of our God. But when you look through a microscope at the creation, get a more defined, a more clear grasp of His infinitesimal. I like the word there, infinitesimal, without limit, handiwork. Just so, we cannot fully grasp God's love, which fills all of eternity, nor fully understand the future with even the strongest telescopes of faith. But we can, however, realize God's love in the microscope of moments, brought very close to us, where we experience the perfect details of His perfect love. His love, working obedience in us spontaneously in a moment, is evidence that His love is in us. Take and keep our moments and our days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. And we're not talking about constantly using expressions of praise, although we could probably use more than we do. It's not so much that, but praise and trust and adoration and thanks, love for our Lord, will be the tone and the color, the atmosphere and attitude in which our moments flow one into the other. A spirit of thanksgiving and praise to Him. Now, in looking at this, I need to do something else here to try to get across this where we are. So the Lord gave me, I think, the thought of the looking at the doctrine of sanctification, because this is what we're looking at. So I got into a little doctrines book by Evans, which, by the way, is an excellent doctrines book, very concise and to the point. And so sanctification, a life actively lived in separation from evil and dedication unto God and His service, having to do with character and conduct. Now, we were sanctified instantaneously in the past when we were saved, but we are progressively being sanctified in the present, and it will be a complete sanctification in the future when we're with the Lord. It is a crisis with a view towards a process, sanctification is. It's an instantaneous act, which at the same time includes growth unto completion. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You want to turn there, please. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory. One person has recorded this as from one degree of character to another as we are moving towards our sanctification in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the last verse of chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and ever, glorying in grace until He takes us home. Sanctification again. It is the momentarily appropriation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Momentarily, not just a single moment in time, but moment by moment by moment by moment, appropriation of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, I'll just read this, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. These four things. Now, he is all of those. But in reality, he becomes our wisdom and sanctification only as we appropriate him daily. Now, he is our righteousness. He is our redemption when we appropriate him at salvation, when we trust him. But wisdom and sanctification is a growing thing. Even momentarily, take by faith his life in all of its graces to be our very own for the need of that very moment. Then Christ, who was made our sanctification instantly, will become sanctification in the growing unto completion sense, producing in the believer his own life moment by moment. The believer's responsibility in all this is threefold. Follow peace and holiness, study the scripture, deliberately separate from the unholy and unclean. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, we read, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. To follow or to follow after means to pursue. Could even mean persecute, as the Apostle Paul persecuted Christians. Holiness must be the object of that pursuit. The lazy man will not be a holy man, and one cannot grow in his sleep. In John 17, we read, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. In Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, with the washing of the water by the word. And so, the study of the scripture is the next responsibility. Now, how does the word of God cleanse and sanctify? By revealing sin, awakening the conscience, revealing the character of Christ, and revealing the work of the Holy Spirit, among other things. There is no power like that of the Word for detaching a man from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Thirdly, a deliberate separating from the unclean and unholy, and present continually and constantly our members as instruments of righteousness unto God for His purposes. Thus, by successive single acts of surrender unto holiness, keeping my moments, sanctification becomes the habit of life. Keep my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. But is it too much for all your moments to flow in ceaseless praise? Where will you stop? What proportion of your moments are enough for the Lord? How many for use by His Spirit or by your Spirit? If not all, then how much? Be explicit about it. Calculate, divide, apportion. You're free to make it what you want now, but you won't be able to in heaven, for there it will be all praise always. And yet, He made you for His glory. He chose you that you should be to the praise of His glory. He loves you every moment. He watches over you every moment. He cares for you unceasingly. He died for you. Shall we remember this great love and yet hesitate to give Him all our moments? Remember, life is but a vapor, and time is of the essence. Let Him have them. Entrust them to Him as they come. Ask Him to keep every single moment for Himself, for His use, that not only your moments, but days and months and years may flow in ceaseless praise. These verses in Psalm 121. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson that you have brought to our hearts and minds. And we do pray that you will help us to realize that it is by the moment we not only do live our lives, but we can live our lives for thee if we just ask you to keep them for us, to help us to stay in your word, to help us to stay in obedience to you, and to love you as we should moment by moment. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.